Welcome to the Tuesday, November 1st, 2011 edition of the Sands and its Storm Centers Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and I'm recording from Jacksonville, Florida. Let's start with today's diary, and the one I wrote up today was a little bit of a more personal story. As it happens, my wife is managing some rental apartments that are usually advertised on Craigslist. So she had this house up there listed for rent and got an inquiry from England, which initially wasn't really all that unusual. But in this case, the story took a little bit of an odd twist. They were very fast to sign up and ask her where to send the check to for a deposit and the first month's rent. So the check arrived, looked really, really fishy, and it was for way more money than she expected. She expected something around $2,000, and they sent almost $7,000 asking for the change in return via Western Union. Of course, this is a typical advance fee or more correctly, an overpayment scam. This tends to happen a lot. She's getting a lot of emails like that. Now, usually they don't never end up sending her a check. But if you sell anything of value, like cars, for example, it has been done with, you may expect a scam like that. Of course, the goal here is that you will not find out that the check isn't actually any good until you send them the Western Union money transfer. Just a note of caution, if you are trying to cash the check, it turns out to be fraudulent, do not try to cash it at some other bank and hope that they won't recognize it. You are committing a crime if you're trying to cash a check that you have good reason to assume is fraudulent. And on the other hand, of course, your chance of getting your money back that you send out to England via Western Union are very, very slim. All these scams are really a form of social engineering, so it's just fitting that socialengineer.org came out with a report summarizing the results from this year's DEF CON Social Engineering Capture the Flag contest. The way this contest works is that participants have to figure out a number of items, flags from various companies by just using social engineering techniques. So, for example, Googling for it, looking on Facebook, or calling the companies. They do have 25 minutes, and during those 25 minutes, they're allowed to call these companies. Some of the questions are, for example, new hire information. Do they have a PBX? Do they have a VPN? What kind of VPN? What kind of website are blocked, and you know, all of this information that would probably help a real attacker either create a more targeted attack or essentially take some of the reconnaissance that you would usually obtain by scanning the company's networks. Out of the 14 companies targeted, pretty much all of them gave up some information. Only four put up resistance, and three individual employees put up resistance. However, in one case, for example, with AT&T, which was one of the companies that scored better than others in this test, one employee in a retail store did put up some resistance, but then, well, the attacker just went to a different store and got the information they needed. In particular, in a service or retail environment, of course, it's very hard to teach your employees when to draw the line and when to stop being helpful. And of course, tests like this may help you to discover some of the weaknesses. Now, not all of this is just employees that gave bad answers at phone calls, but a lot of it was really just public information that was gathered from the company's websites or things like employee blogs and social networking sites. And then we have a new semi-top-level domain that's sort of on the radar of malware researchers. You need, of course, have domains, for example, like .co, .cc that were blocked by Google. Now, these days, it's .ce, .ms. MS is owned by the island of Montserrat, and they essentially sold the .ce, .ms domain. It's not a country-level domain. And just like the other domains that were abused for scams like fake antivirus and such, .ce, .ms hands out free domain names. The problem with these free domains is, of course, that they're also used by legitimate websites. However, there appear to be some domain name systems, like, for example, DynDNS and such, that appear to run a somewhat tighter ship. And if you do need a domain name for a hobby site or so that you don't really want to pay for, just go with one of the more reputable free offerings. Well, that's it for today. So thanks again for listening, and talk to you again tomorrow.